Friday, April 25th, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we are in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, along with a strong warning about the type of trials they will face.
Jesus is sending his apostles on a trial run to train them as to how to conduct themselves, giving instruction about conduct, and what to expect as they minister the gospel. It's intended to help us understand the struggle that is taking place for you. The depth of a lot of today's Christianity is simply that people think it's just a bunch of nice people getting a nice message so they can learn to be more nice. That's kind of the extent of it.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 10 this morning. Matthew chapter 10. We are continuing our study of Matthew, page 968. We're taking verses 1 through 25 of this section today. You remember that we had the summary, sort of a close of a section last time with what is called an inclusio, where Jesus summarizes. It is summarized of his ministry, what he went to do. And now he's commissioning his apostles, if you will, for the same ministry. Let's give our attention this morning to the word of the Lord, beginning at verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the labor deserves this food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" And there will end the reading of God's word. When the apostle Paul was helping the young pastor Timothy, he had to constantly remind him of what the ministry was about. I don't know if the kind of common phrase of Timothy is that he was timid Timothy is true, but at least he had to make very clear that the ministry is a warfare, and that is something that the servant of God must remember in the Christian life especially those who go out into the ministry to, as Paul said, fight the good fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. At the end of his ministry, Paul said the same thing. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That was supposed to be a model for pastors that the Apostle Paul had set. We are fighting for the salvation of people. We are making known the riches of Jesus Christ. This, of course, the battle that we are in is not always appreciated as it should be. The depth of a lot of today's Christianity is simply that people think it's just a bunch of nice people getting a nice message so they can learn to be more nice. That's kind of the extent of it. But here we have captured for us today, this morning, Jesus is really sending out his apostles on a trial run, if you will, a tour through Israel ministering the gospel. It's a ministerial tour. And it's a great window, I believe, to help us appreciate just what is happening in Christian ministry. And by the way, just so you have some perspective of my take on this passage, since there is a one sort of challenging verse here at the end, this is really what is known as a technique called prophetic foreshortening, where there are multiple fulfillments throughout history, and this whole section captures that. For the very things that we read, we see play out in Acts everywhere. So it wasn't just for the days of the apostles as they were sent on their mini tour. This would be something that would echo throughout the whole new ministry age, the new covenant age, as the design of Christian ministry, what you can expect in Christian ministry. That's why this passage is so important. But it's challenging. It's kind of like a job description, even though ministry should never be called a job. With most job descriptions, you're going to have somebody who's going to be brutally honest about what is required, and they're going to tell you what to do and what not to do, and all the warnings and expectations that come with it. We have Jesus here fascinatingly warning the disciples about what to expect as they minister the word. And this is very instructive. Very instructive. It's important for a few different reasons. Number one, it probes us all to ask how we're receiving the ministry. Number two, even though it's focused on sent pastors, if you will, here apostles, it showcases and characterizes the qualities of all true servants of Jesus Christ. So in your very callings, you can apply the very things that are said here. And it's important. The main point of this section this morning that we're considering is that Jesus is sending his apostles on a trial run to train them as to how to conduct themselves, giving instruction about conduct and what to expect as they minister the gospel. It's intended to help us understand the struggle that is taking place for you and what's going on behind the scenes. I want to look at this morning by considering Jesus' instructions here, his cautions, and then what I believe is an encouragement in the midst of all this. Last week we had that surprising section that was preparatory for all this, that was sort of a preparation for this section of the sending of the apostles out on this ministry tour. You remember in verse 35, we read that Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was preaching the gospel. That is exactly what was said to begin the Sermon on the Mount. It was an inclusio, that sort of a refrain to tie everything together so far of what Jesus' ministry looked like, what he was doing. And the surprising thing about the ministry, Jesus' ministry, was already how much opposition he was enduring. I mean, think of 35 again. He's teaching, he's proclaiming, he's freeing people from bondage with his authority. People are being set free from sin and death. And in that very section last time, there are all the religious leaders of Israel saying, this man cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. What an awful thing to say. What an awful blasphemy. Matthew says nothing about it at this point. how patient Jesus was. He stayed focused on the mission. He was long-suffering. And the heart of it, I think one of the most beautiful passages in the Gospel of Matthew was verse 26 of chapter 9, last time, 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, how wonderful our Lord is. He sees this harassed sheep. He sees, and you notice there, it is really fascinating in that verse. He wasn't just talking about the harvest. He saw the crowds. These are the multitudes of all the peoples. And he had this kind of emotion well up within him for these sheep who are lost. No shepherd. Well, that's driving everything here. That is really driving everything here. He had come for this purpose, to preach the gospel, to set people free. Look at how intent he was to rescue people. It would not be a failure. He would fulfill Ezekiel 25. He would be the one, the shepherd, the good shepherd, because of these failed shepherds, to go out and recover the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what this passage is a fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. And continues to be. But the apostles had no idea what awaited them. So Jesus said, and at the heart of this, in our section today in chapter 10 and verse 24, which is the principle here, a disciple is not above his teacher. We should be content with that. You're going to face the same things. What they did to me, they're going to do to you. People are not going to like you. So that's the heart of the trial run. Now, this is brutally honest. It does not mean this is an easy passage today. This is brutally honest because it gives you a window into what actually goes on into ministry behind the scenes. Sometimes, boys and girls, you might look at elders and say, what really goes on in those rooms over there when we talk? Or you might wonder about all the things going on behind the scenes in the life of the church. You've got it right here. The apostles did not understand this. This was the heart of the trial run, initial training for them to send them out in the same ministry. This is the point. There's a direct correlation here to Jesus' ministry. With that inclusio, the same ministry they are to follow. So notice chapter 10 becomes his instructions. In verse 1, this is what we read. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Notice what just happened. We've been looking at the authority of Jesus all throughout Matthew's gospel. Here it comes again. Now that authority is delegated and given to the apostles. Very important. That's been the whole theme throughout Matthew of the ministry. The very authority of Christ is there, now given to them to continue the ministry that he is bringing. It's Jesus' ministry. So he's commissioned them. And Matthew, at his point, names the 12. I thought about going into the character of each one's and to spend some time on a sermon on each of the apostles, but I didn't think that would be necessarily helpful because I want to see the big picture here. But I don't know that we would be very happy with these guys as pastors. Just want to say that. Peter, the great optimist. Thomas, the great, doubter. Philip, the pessimist. You know, these are ordinary guys, fishermen, whom the Lord chose to do this work. I'll just say that. That's really encouraging. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Then there's Judas here, which is the surprise, who was a charlatan stealing off the money bags the whole time. So we know that from John. It's a surprising thing that he sent out on this ministry. He was obviously a special kind of circumstance that the Old Testament to be fulfilled, he would betray the Lord. But here we are. Here come the instructions now. Instructions for ministry. These 12 men are sent out Go nowhere among the Gentiles, he says. Enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, fulfilling Ezekiel 25. First to Israel and then to the Gentiles would be the pattern throughout Acts. But here we are first to Israel. That's where he's focusing the ministry that fulfilled the promise, the prophecies, that it would first go to Israel and then it would go to the Gentiles. First to the toughest soil, if you will. Notice that he's directing them where to go and what to say. Proclaim to them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They knew just what that meant. When Jesus began his ministry, that those were the very first words that came out of his mouth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was good news. It was a call for Israel to return to the Lord their God. To come home, if you will, to him. To turn from sin. And to come to the light. With my arrival, the kingdom proclaimed in all of scriptures has come. And he gave them power, you'll notice here, to validate this great kingdom message. He gave power of them to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers, and to cast out demons. That must have been quite a ministry tour. I can't imagine being sent out to do those things. I think you'd have great followings, right? What's amazing here, here's the king and here's what he's after. Look at verse 12. As you enter a house, I want you to go to households. Greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come on it. Who's worthy? Well, I think you saw it last time with the two blind beggars. They were crying to Jesus for mercy. They had an open disposition and heart to receive the gospel. They were soft. They were ready. They were prepared. They knew they were sinners. They knew they needed grace. These are those who are worthy. They were commissioned to go to the homes and they were commissioned to preach the gospel. They were commissioned to preach the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus attached that and said, you know what I want you also to do? I want you to heal their sick and I want you to help them and heal them and set them free. And notice what Jesus wanted them to say. Isn't this amazing? Now listen carefully. This is really powerful. I want you to say peace. I'm bringing peace to you. Of all things. A message of peace. You think of what we deserve and what God could have brought to our houses. Now we're looking at households here. This is really important. His whole mission comes with the intention of peace to households in Israel. Peace to you and to your children. Thoroughly covenantal, by the way. From the heart of Christ, he wanted to bring peace. This was his desire. I can't get over it. It so correlates back with 35. He's having compassion. He's showing it as the gospel comes to you, people just like you, to your houses. This is why Jesus was so concerned about conduct here. He says in verse 8, you receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, no tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. He is saying something very simple here. I don't want you behaving like charlatans. I don't want anyone to think you're that. I don't want you peddling this for money. I don't want anyone to think that this is about money. Notice the statement. As you receive the kingdom freely, give the kingdom without pay. That's not saying people couldn't provide for their necessities. That's how they lived. What he's saying is, I don't want the perception that the kingdom of God is about money. I don't want people thinking they have to give gold to receive it, or they have to think of Rome. Buy indulgences. And I don't want people paying you for it. I don't want you paying them for it. You see, you received it freely. Give it freely. This is amazing. Speak peace to them. Give the kingdom freely. It's a free gift for people. I can think of no more beautiful representation. He wanted the sense the kingdom of God could not be given or purchased with money. That would always be a free will offering, if you will, of the people. If you've been here at nights, you know that we've been working through Romans 5. And last time he said something that described the gospel and the work of Christ as a free gift. And the righteousness and peace that we enjoy, having been justified by faith, we have peace. And the free gift abounded to many. The free gift. But then Jesus qualifies. But we're not begging people. Listen. We are not begging people. We are not on our hands and knees. Don't come across that way. Be very wise in this. If they won't receive it, let peace return. Shake the dust off your sandals. Truly, I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom, from the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. That town will face more judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah faced. Wow. What did he do? He rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is not begging. We need to remember that. He gives an offer, a free offer, a call. But he's not begging. For people who refuse, that was a willful choice. A day of judgment is coming. And it will be an overthrow of life like nothing nobody's ever expected. He says in verse 23, he doesn't expect any servant to continue to minister in a place where he's being persecuted. Did you catch that? I do not expect that.
That's all the time we have for today here in Matthew chapter 10 with Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us next time for part 2 of this message. Until then, may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.